Rise and shine, Atlanta. Today is the day. We will know who our initial 53-man roster is, and then it'll change multiple times within probably 12 hours.
Yeah.
My name is Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbill. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. He's been through this a few times himself. Mr. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, she is the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Tofu, the leader of Uber Negative Steve and Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. And we've got the Drake Stan, the creepiest wave in the history of waving, and the worst top five list of all time, Mr. Dylan Dylan Matthews, with a great smile, by the way. Good smile, Dylan.
Ding.
Good morning.
Hey,
it's
man,
a big day. It's a big day.
I wasn't sure if the monologue was over, but yeah, I was gonna say what's up.
No, not a monologue. It's an introduction. So thanks for misrepresenting it. Today's a big day.
It is a
for
big
the
day
for Falcons.
It's
for
top
a lot of
five
people.
Tuesday.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's not what today is.
Could we call it an opening monologue, the way you do like award shows?
No, again, it's not a monologue. It's an introduction. I introduce you guys.
All right.
And then we all talk. If it was a monologue, I would take up the whole segment. I could do that if you want.
Okay. I don't know if that's a definition, but I don't really
I do
want to talk about
I
it
do
anymore.
It live, you know. So
I'm with Bo here. It's definitely an intro.
Shocker.
A monologue.
Shocker.
Again, I'm just on the side of fair and justice.
He only picks you when it's a trivia contest.
A monologue would be like Rome's opening rant. That's a monologue. Segment.
I'll give Dylan credit. He's just trying to hold the show together. He doesn't want the thing to fall apart.
Well, I mean, you're very hostile early. I'm not sure why.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. As he's staring at Dylan.
I was going to say, it's weird. You're not looking at me. Anyways, man. Yeah, what's going on? It is Top 5 Tuesday. I'm stoked about Top 5. I'm really, really excited about Top 5.
And so that's going to be happening at 7:40. Do you want to reveal what your Top 5
is? We'll go ahead and get it. So I almost did, because we were talking yesterday about scary movies. I almost did Top 5 scary movies. But I figured that was more of like an October.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I went for Top 5 movie villains.
Mm.
Yeah. And it was very hard. Let me just put it that way. Very, very tough.
I've already got holes in your list.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy.
And
that says more about you than it does about me you don't know any of them.
I'm just going to assume, based on your movie knowledge, that you're leaving out some very good villains.
Yeah, definitely did. I actually honorable mentioned one that it's a movie I haven't seen, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to have to include this.
I've never known his name, but the villain from No Country for Old Men.
That's a good one.
It's quite possibly one of the greatest villains in a movie of all time. And believe it or not, I think it could be an underrated villain. I mean, I'm sure like Joker's number one on your list, you know, something like that. Maybe the Heath Ledger Joker.
So this is why what he's doing right now is the reason we don't ever talk about the 6 o'clock. Because he just can't stop. He can't stop talking about it.
That's why I don't give my list out until very late.
I want the suspense to go ahead and start building.
Yeah, we got to build anticipation.
Go ahead and build it up.
So why are you mad? Isn't that what I'm doing?
Well, you're going into it with a very closed mind. You're already assuming what the list is, and you're poking holes in it at 6:07 in the morning.
How
dare you call me closed-minded?
Nice, we should make him say something nice about somebody. Because it has been a long morning for Bo already.
How?
I don't know. You came here fire and brimstone, baby. Like, before we even got on the air, you were talking trash about at least four other people.
He did compliment my smile, cities. So I will say that.
Dylan.
I only talk trash about people that deserved it.
I mean, it was literally, Mike goes, hey, do you remember so-and-so? And you go, oh, you mean the blank one?
The piece of blank? Yeah.
It those started
people,
early.
Those people there are pieces of blank.
Oh, I mean, it's all truth. Everybody knows it.
Well, the entire show today, we are going to be keeping tabs on cuts being made across the NFL as the deadline for cutdown day hits at 4 p.m. today. Of course, 7:40, Top 5 Tuesday. Mike is in control of his own game today. Thank goodness for that. Top movie villains, as he just revealed. And today we got to talk about the Falcons because, like Bo mentioned, we are going to see the official roster. But you said over the next 12 hours we'll see some changes. What kind of changes?
Well, you'll see guys make the initial roster, then put on the IR.
Got it.
I would expect that the McGarry news whatever it is coming down today. Mm-hmm. He'll make the initial 53, and then they'll either put him on long-term or short-term IR, depending on what they've seen from their follow-ups. I think Storm Norton could be go on the short-term, depending on where he's at a week later after surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see someone signed. There's some guys that have been released already that could be signed here or at least talked to. So yeah, there's going to be some moves like that. And then you're going to see them try to, let guys get through the wire and then come back and sign them to the practice squad.
Yeah. There's the games that'll be played today. Bo was right. We'll get a 53 and then we'll get, four or five different changes over the mm-hmm. next 12 hours because of that. And then one of the reasons is because a lot of other teams are trying to play the same game we are, where they wait all the way until the last minute to announce the guys they've placed on waivers because they're trying to get them through the practice squad. So Atlanta has to look at that list and, maybe it's right at 4 o'clock when you've already told a guy, hey, you're going to be part of this or whatever. And you look back at it and you're like, ooh, that guy's pretty good that just got released up in Baltimore or Detroit or Philly or whatever it may be. And, maybe you value them a little bit higher. So it's going to be, I would say, a painful few hours, obviously, for a lot of people. There are, NFL dreams that will be being put on hold today, which is unfortunate. But you brought it up. I've been through this a number of times. I would say every year I was in the league, actually, I was looking at this point going, God, I hope they don't cut me. I mean, it's
you
just
knew the first year you were good, though, right?
No, not necessarily. I mean, that was a third-round pick, but you just never know. You never know from that aspect. Second year, I definitely didn't know. Third year, definitely didn't know. Fourth year, I got injured, obviously, in preseason, was already on pretty much IR, and then I guess the last year was the same way, but it's a scary time.
So is this a day you are trying to avoid your phone, or is a meeting called? What kind of is the process there?
Yeah, there's no reason in avoiding the phone. It just is what it is. If you get that phone call and you have to head down there, I mean, I knew a bunch of people that went through it. I never had to visit with the coach in the office and get cut, but mm-hmm. a lot of my very best friends had to do it. And like I said, there's no reason to avoid it. Whether or not they tell you in person, they're going to release
right.
you. You might as well get the message face to face.
And when you went through training camp and everything, they did multiple cuts. So they would start with 90 and then have to get down to 75.
Yep.
And so if you ever seen the movie Invincible, Mark Wahlberg, right, where he's playing Vince Papale, and they're at camp and you hear the coach wants to see you. Mm-hmm. Bring your playbook,
yeah.
And then that's the same as getting that. Hey, we want to meet with you.
That's such a bad job. That's such a bad job.
They called him the Turk?
The Turk.
That's what they called him. In the older days, they called him the Turk. Yeah. I think
it's we should do a top five list sometime of just worst jobs.
Worst job.
has got to be one of the worst jobs.
Did you do an S? Did you do your projection? Did you do a projection of the roster?
I haven't, to a 53, no.
Yeah, I did. I did it earlier. And I've, I've triple-checked my math to make sure that I did it.
Right.
Do you want to know, I'm not going to tell you who, but do you want to know what my numbers even out to be?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, and I asked you, I said 27. I was going to land on 27 on defense. I'm curious if you were close.
Spot on.
Yeah.
27, 23, and 3.
Yeah.
So three specialists, kicker, punter,
exactly
long
where I
snapper.
Was at last time I looked.
I ended up between, and I did it. I went through my chart and I was just like, who do I think's making it based on what I think,
mm-hmm.
what I've seen, and the obvious? And I'll give you this. I only kept three running backs. Maybe the surprise and where the controversy I think could be was who the third one is.
Sure.
I kept
absolutely.
I kept six edge guys.
Yeah.
It's weird.
How many quarterbacks?
Dos.
Yeah. Mm. You had to. I mean, that's the only way the numbers. That's the only way the numbers added up for me.
You're not. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say that, I think when you start to look at it and you start to plan it out, we don't know who they're looking at on the waiver wire. That's really the thing. We can kind of guess on the numbers all we want to, but we're guessing on who we have in camp, not, not who it could be available out there. You know what I mean? But that's all you can do at this point.
The Kenny Pickett trade made it really easy for what they want to do. Like, the fact that Kenny Pickett is now in Vegas and that the Browns said, we're shipping him to Vegas, they're probably going to sign. If they want a fourth quarterback, they'll get Tyler Huntley to do it, most likely, if he clears. But the Pickett trade there, I think it makes it easy for the Falcons to be like, we can cut Easton Stick, and most likely he'll be back here. Because I think Easton Stick played really well, but you're not carrying three quarterbacks on a whim that you're going to basically trade Kirk Cousins at any point, because any trade that happens with him now looks like it won't happen until in the season starts. And then you just got to be very – you got to pay attention, because if someone gets hurt, you're going to have to basically sign Stick and cut somebody else immediately.
Yeah, I will say this. I thought Easton Stick played at about a B-minus level. And honestly, when there was two interceptions this preseason got overturned by penalties. And when it happened, I was thinking in the back of my head, I wonder if that's what would keep him off of another roster. Like, as weird as that is to think of it that way. It's almost like if he balls out too much in preseason, you're going, won't be able to hold on to him.
Well, his numbers look pretty good overall.
Yeah, they did. I think his numbers were somewhat surprising, to be real.
He made a couple of really bad decisions, but other than that, yeah.
I do want to get into the nitty-gritty of your predictions and different positions and everything that you have been thinking about. But real quick, are we going to get the news today about the Falcons roster? Do you think it's going to be in like one fell swoop, or is it going to trickle out?
You'll get a few early trickle, and then it'll just be boom. This is a 53. Like, it's always a few leak out, like a couple of big names, and then it just.
Hey, yo.
What did I say this time?
All right, coming up, we're going to hear from Raheem Morris on how tough making cuts like today is. Get into the nitty-gritty of Mike and Bo's predictions for this 53-man roster. All of that is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
It is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and Dylan is behind the glass. We're going to talk about cut down day in a moment. I had high hopes this morning, though, with the cooler temperatures.
Oh, my gosh.
Driving into Colony Square that my windshield would not fog up. It still did.
No.
When does it stop?
Let's not focus on the downside.
No.
It was beautiful when I walked out this morning.
So nice.
So good.
So nice. Went for like an afternoon walk yesterday. It was amazing.
This is false fall, though, right? We still got another, 3 weeks until fall's actually here?
Yeah. It hasn't made up its mind yet.
My windshield did not fog up. So.
I don't think mine did either.
Yeah. I'm not sure what you got going on.
Got a weird temperature going on in their cabin.
I don't think mine fogged up either, now I think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, your vehicle's special and it's on right. So.
Well, I'll keep you posted if I figure it out tomorrow. We'll see.
I like to think Dylan's car is like its own personality, like Herbie. You know what I mean? Like, it's like got a life of its own.
It looks worse every day that I look at it.
Kia fully loaded. Kia fully loaded.
It does throw me off when you park in a different spot. Today you were like two spots down.
Yeah.
I know it's durable. I know that much.
It is durable and still very aerodynamic, even with the tape.
All right. So 4 o'clock today, the deadline hits for cut day, and a lot of guys will be getting noticed today that their services are no longer needed. Not an easy day, and actually Raheem Morris did talk about how difficult it is to make these cuts.
It's always tough because you know how much these guys put into it. You know, we invested in those guys like they invested in us. We give those guys everything we got just like they give us everything that they have, and we got to have the ability to go out there and make those tough decisions. But the best way to do it is brutal honesty, and the best thing to do is what's best for the Falcons, and the best thing to do is best for us winning, and those guys all understand that.
And we will see, you know, our 53-man roster today. I know, Bo, you've made an entire prediction on who you believe is going to make the 53-man roster. Was it difficult to put this all together? Are there any surprises of the cuts that you have?
Not really.
You guys already agreed that quarterbacks, there are going to be two today, right?
I believe so.
There's no reason to keep any more. I like Easton Stick, but I don't foresee him going anywhere. You know, there's been some trades that have kind of happened with the backup department, and you know what, Sam Howell went to, where'd he go? Eagles, right?
Yeah.
And, and then you got Kenny Pickett going to the Raiders, and those were teams that kind of wanted to bolster their backup spots, and or there was something they were looking for. So, no, I think Easton Stick, he had a good preseason, but I have a feeling that you can probably get him to the practice squad.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that in my mind. I mean, we've already seen a lot of movement in the backup quarterback market. You saw Kyle Trask got let go. I mean, even a guy like Carson Wentz just being picked up off the street. There's quality depth when you talk about a third-string signal caller out there that if you needed to go find somebody that you could probably do that. I think Easton Stick's fine, but I don't think he's worth, like, protecting and keeping him on the 53, so I'm with you on that one.
So how about running backs then? What number do you have, Bo?
Three. I don't see you keeping more than that. I actually have them keeping Carlos Washington as a third running back. I think they're high on him. I think that they see things for him in a role, and I know that he didn't play in the preseason, but they've had him around here before. So to me, that's who I believe they'll go with the third. And again, like him, but did anything Nathan Carter did anything that he did this this preseason scream to you that a team's going to be, you know, grab him? If a team does, it'll probably be Dallas, Tennessee, or Detroit, and I don't see Detroit or Dallas grabbing him, so it would just be Tennessee.
I'd be curious. This, to me, is the perfect spot for them, and I brought the number up to you guys yesterday. Is over under 2.5 guys they signed from other teams. This is one of the this is a perfect spot to me to go out and get a guy that are at RB3 that's a veteran that you know can run the ball but also play special teams. And I think you're right. I think Carlos Washington maybe even is on the initial 53, but I feel like that's a position they might be looking to upgrade.
Yeah, and that's okay. But, they would keep, to me, they would keep Washington at first and then see what else is out there. If they're going to do that, yeah. if that's the way they're going out. I don't think they would keep Carter in that role and then go be looking, right?
No, I think it's just one of those positions that's tough to project because we didn't see Carlos Washington in the preseason at all. So it's only, you know, it's really only how the special teams coaches and the coaches inside the building feel that are kind of, you know, lead us to project to 53. But again, that's one I'll be keeping an eye on in terms of just seeing if they go out and find somebody here over the next couple of days.
What about wide receivers?
I'm pretty sure we probably landed on the same number and the same people on this one, even though it is an extremely deep and difficult decision to make.
Well, we might have landed on the same number. I don't know about the same people.
Interesting.
I think there's a chance, but...
do my math right here. Let me get the old pen out.
I got six.
I got six as well.
Yeah,
I got six. I'm pretty sure we have the same six. You ready?
Okay, yeah, go.
Okay, got Drake London.
Sure.
Daryl Hodge.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney.
Yeah.
Ray McLeod.
Yeah.
Casey Washington.
Okay.
David Sills.
Yeah. I cut Jamal Agnew.
I did too.
Which is crazy because now you're going to be very comfortable. That's why what you do at a couple other positions, you're going to be comfortable with some things like Arch just talked about.
Is it just because of the competition that led you to cut Jamal Agnew but keep Carlos Washington?
What does Jamal Agnew do?
He's a returner.
Yeah. What else does he do?
Well, I mean...
He's technically a wide receiver, but...
I guess my point is you could say the same thing about Carlos Washington. Plays special teams. Doesn't really play running back.
Well, I trust him getting on the field. To me, I would put him on... He's got a chance to play at running back before Jamal Agnew does at receiver.
I mean, I'm with you. Look, I think they're gonna keep three running backs. I don't know... I'll be curious to see what happens to Carlos Washington, but I'm with you on the Jamal Agnew. I cut him. I just think it's obvious to me they love David Sills. I think that's very clear. And then other than that, it's the same five they kept last year, and Casey Washington has done nothing but make his claim a little bit better to be part of that initial 53. So
one of the things I thought Terry said was interesting is that they build the roster, they build out the guys they want active almost every game day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was crazy too.
And then they go with those last seven players.
Yeah, very insightful.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, the one thing we've seen about the NFL these days is when they make that active 46 players, or whatever, and I guess the 47th with the emergency quarterback or whatnot, which can be on your practice squad. They do it in a way where it can be built on a matchup that week. Like if it's maybe you have 6D linemen today and an extra offensive lineman, or vice versa.
Yeah. Well, and that's also, I think, as you get into it and you make your way through a 17-game schedule, a lot of that has to do with injuries as well. Who's dinged up? You know what I mean? Like if you have a defensive tackle that's dinged up, you probably need to activate a different guy, edge, lineman. It's all the same way. If you have a guy with a hamstring or a groin, you probably need to, somebody else in that rotation that can at least fit in. And when you guys, talked to Terry before the game, he was talking about cross-training guys, which is exactly what happened when we saw Natron Brooks, D. Alford, guys like that start to switch positions back there in the secondary.
All right, so moving on, because you have 6 wide receivers, 3 running backs, 2 quarterbacks. What about tight ends?
3.
Yeah.
And it's easy 3. I know we agree on this. It's Pitts, Warner, and Quatoriano, I think how you pronounce it.
Yeah. I think that's easy. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to ask Arch about Felipe Franks yesterday. And Arch was like, look, I think he just said it kind of tongue-in-cheek, like, yeah, Felipe Franks, you know what? He does make the 53. I don't think he does. But I think that is a spot to watch because I think he does the jobs reasonably well. Remember, we're talking about two different things. Talk about Kyle Pitts and Charlie Warner. They don't play the same spot. So it's not like, oh, Pitts is hurt, Charlie Warner's going to take – no, that's not how tight end works in this offense. They do completely different things, and I think Quatoriano does both of those decently okay.
Yeah, and I think the reason Quatoriano makes it over Franks is because he can do some of the – we've seen him do some of the things on special teams that we know Felipe can do, but he's just a little bit more polished as a tight end and the blocking and the route running thing. Now, look, I know Felipe had 3 catches for like 24 yards and a big touchdown and everything, but I just think they trust Quatoriano a little bit better as far as the tight end aspect of it.
I think they are going to do everything they can to keep Felipe around. I do think that he's coveted as far as his special teams work, and he has played with a little tenacity this time around. So I'll be curious to see where that lands, but I'm with you. I don't think at this point, when you look at the names, and again, a lot of it has to do with who you can get to the practice squad. I don't think that they're worried about him getting picked up, so I think that he probably is not part of this initial 53.
And you want good guys, locker room guys that are there for the betterment of the group on the practice squad. You know, that if you have kind of if you have a bad attitude, it's going to be a little bit harder for them to keep you around on that practice squad job.
Well, and by my math, if it's correct, I believe you guys have picked 14 players so far. So we've got a few to go. We'll continue this conversation about who is going to make this 53-man roster. Sports Talk on 92.9 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And coming up, week 1 is on deck for college football. We've got your preview, and we've got my Allie Mac drop. I am so curious how much trouble your kids would get into, if they would get into trouble, for this stunt that a certain kid pulled. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Yes, we are the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass, and we are officially in it. For week 1, we have many matchups to look forward to. Number 1, Texas is taking on number 3, Ohio State, on the road at noon on Saturday. I know Mama Mack will be flying her Ohio State flag this weekend.
Is that right?
She's a Buckeye. Always knew Ohio State was playing because you could hear her yelling.
Oh, man, it's probably time for me to change out the flag in the front of my house. I go back and forth between my Bama flag and my USA flag, just depending on what time of year it is. But it's definitely that time of year to put the old Crimson Script A back out front as well, so the neighbors know what time it is. No, that's interesting, though. I like that. It is. I can't remember. Bo would have to help me with this. I can't remember a more anticipated quarterback debut. And not that he hasn't played or started games, but Arch Manning making his debut with this, number 1 Texas team is going to be very, very interesting.
I'm sure there's been them.
The only thing I can think of is Tim Tebow in 07.
Yeah, but I feel like that was a little bit different because they were coming off a national title win, and he was a lot bigger part of that national championship season than people want to give him credit for in 06.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Tennessee game in 06 where they needed that big fourth down in Knoxville on a Saturday night, and he He gets that more. I mean, he played the LSU game where he has the jump pass in 06 for the touchdown.
Like I think he scored a tut against us. We were down there in Gainesville that year.
Yeah, pretty sure he did. He had pivotal little moments in every game. It felt like that they needed it, you know, in a national, you know, and it, that led them to win the title that year. This Arch Manning thing's a little bit different, but Ohio State and Texas, if I'm not mistaken, have opened the season up years ago like this before. I like it. I just hate the damn games at noon.
Yeah.
And I know that's what Fox wants. And that's the TV aspect of this. I don't even think Ohio State really wanted the game at noon.
I hate to even bring this up, but how are we feeling about the Dave Portnoy stuff? Dave Portnoy, it was announced kind of late last night that is not going to be allowed inside the stadium. He's part of Fox's broadcast this year, but when they all go to the stadium for pregame, he's not going to be allowed in.
If I'm Michigan, Urban Meyer's not allowed in the stadium when they do it. They're at Michigan, Urban Meyer can kick it. He can keep his ass outside too. And I don't hate Urban Meyer.
I agree with you.
But I mean, if you want to start this crap,
yeah,
because I think I'm not a Dave Portnoy defender. I really don't care either way.
I fit in the same box you're talking about right now.
I think that he's done great for himself. That's great.
Happy for him.
I get annoyed with his Michigan fanboy crap, but I don't really care either way. But if you're going to tell me that a guy working on the broadcast is paying you, that's helping you receive millions of dollars, can't enter the stadium because you've got some issue with who he pulls for, then Urban Meyer is no longer allowed in here.
That's a really good point.
So if we want to start, and I don't like the precedent this sets.
I'm with you.
So
like him or hate him, he's part of the media right now, and he's part of Fox.
Yeah. So what do we do?
I know that he's raised money and brought in millions or whatever, you know, to pay Bryce Underwood, but mostly not his money. He's just a
– So
anyways.
If Auburn is a top five – if Auburn gets a game day when they play Georgia or something, are we not going to – are they going to say, well, Nick, you know, college game day is here, but Nick Saban, you can't come inside the stadium and watch the game.
It's a great point.
So we just can't – this is just – crap, we can't start. Of course, Big Ten teams are doing this. I mean, what do you expect?
Well.
Number 9, LSU is taking on number 4, Clemson, on the road Saturday at 7:30.
This is in actual death. Well, some people would call it Death Valley, right? I don't want to. But this is not a. You know, this is a game that would scream neutral side. I'm pretty sure this is at Clemson, which is crazy. And this is going to be a battle of the real Death Valleys, like they'll call it. Although Brian Kelly's already taken some opening shots, as has Dabo as well. So it's got to be a pretty good one, man. I don't have any idea what to expect out of this game, which is kind of awesome.
You know, the problem for me with this game is I don't necessarily hate either team. It is at Clemson. But the fan bases of both annoy the holy hell out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. I like both these fan bases.
You like these fans?
I genuinely like both of these fan bases.
I respect the fan bases because they're fan bases that always show up no matter what. Like, I don't remember ever watching Clemson play a game, even when they had Tommy Bowden.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was there for that.
And they would show up. And when LSU had Jerry DiNardo running the program into the ground, they would show up. But there's some entitlement that comes from both, and it's very there are fans that look down their nose at other people, and I'm not a big
that's one. Crazy. I've never gotten that vibe from either one of those teams. I'm a huge fan of both these programs. If my kid came to me and was like, "Hey, I'm going to LSU or Clemson," I'd be like, "All right, man, have at it."
Oh, I wouldn't cool tell my kid not to go there. I just don't like the entitlement that comes with some of the, and it's not all of them. Although the point that I'll say this is that, do you pull for the SEC or Clemson here? I've always struggled with that whole
conference. There's a right answer. I don't need LSU getting off on the right foot, but
it does.
I guess Clemson either.
I'll say this though: both of our teams have to play them, LSU, and it's a better win and a better loss if that's where it goes. If you're thinking about playoff hopes,
I don't know. We're both on Team Georgia Tech this year. I feel like. To you know, make an ACC run.
Yeah,
this is going to change that.
It's not
going to
affect Georgia Tech.
The early inkling, if you will.
Let me tell you something. If Georgia Tech wins 10 games in the ACC, they're probably in the conference title game. So just how it is.
Okay. Number 6, Notre Dame is taking on number 10, Miami, on the road Sunday at 7:30.
No feel for this game whatsoever.
I was about to say, I literally just shrugged my shoulders like, no clue. Both. This would be the Carson Beck coming out party, or it could be the Carson Beck, everybody going at Georgia going, I told you.
Both teams are in a transition as far as quarterback. I mean, obviously, it's a stopgap for Miami again. I would, if you want me to, here's the problem. The better coach is Notre Dame's, Marcus Freeman. But Notre Dame has to go to Miami. Yet Miami is one of the crappiest home fields that there is as far as home field advantage. But this is a big game, and it is the first game of the year. So it's kind of a push, because I think where the advantages are, they're kind of equaling out. Miami had a good team last year, but Notre Dame had a better team. Yeah. But how many players, you know, they've lost players like Xavier Watts, right? So Riley Leonard. So they have I think they have the better backfield, but I just don't know. It's very up in the air for me.
Well, I do want to mention Alabama might be without their starting guard Jaden Roberts for their season opener at Florida State.
Alabama fans will tell you this is not an issue. I'm going to tell you it is. Okay. All right, I'm just going to throw that out there. They're supposed to have one of the best offensive line, at least top 5 in the country. I don't love what they've got going on at the guard spots at either one. So we'll see what happens with that. But
yeah, at least you're opening with Florida State.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Well, and Florida quarterback DJ Lagway will start Saturday against Long Island University after dealing with a calf strain for bulk.
That's, big game.
Yeah, massive one.
They should treat this like a preseason game. He should play 3 series, and he should get the hell out of there, because after 3 series, it should be 21-0.
Big showdown.
Well, look, when you play Texas and Texas A&M and LSU and the murderer's row that Florida plays, I don't blame them playing Long Island.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, Sports Radio 929 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with College Football Game Time. That's John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all the big matchups. And we have a big week one contest all weekend long on 929 The Game, with Cincinnati facing Nebraska Thursday at 8:30, Texas at Ohio State Saturday at 11:30, Notre Dame at Miami Sunday at 7:30, and North Carolina hosting TCU Monday at 7. That's all this weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You two are both dads, so I need to know how you would handle this situation.
I'm nervous for my kid already.
Bo, you're going to have to use your imagination and project 4 years out into Pork Chop's life, okay?
Wow.
All right. She's going to get a whipping. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So a 4-year-old ended up with multiple cops showing up to his birthday party.
Oh, dear God.
Here is what happened. Little Micah got a little bit bored when his dad was doing laundry. Decided he just needed to call someone and talk. Well, he ended up calling 911. And he just started talking to the operator about how much he loves soccer and swimming.
Wow.
That's all he was doing.
Wow.
He just needed someone to talk to, his favorite sport. So, of course, 2 police officers went to do a welfare check just to make sure everything was okay. And they let Micah, they were really cool about it. They let Micah explore their patrol cars. And, of course, his dad was incredibly embarrassed.
Yeah. I would say embarrassed is the right word, yeah.
What would you, like, so let's say ring, ring, Ridge is making that call. What would you do?
Well, first of all, let me back up here, because I can guarantee you this is what probably happened in this household. They've probably been trying to teach him about safety.
Yep.
And doing different things. They probably taught him what 911 was. So I would be like, from that sense, I'd be almost proud. I'd be like, hey, you really remembered what 911 was. I must not have hammered home what exactly it was for, but at least you remembered the phone number. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you understand the seriousness of this situation, and most 4-year-olds do not. And my son just turned 5, and I guarantee you he doesn't understand the seriousness of the situation. But I guarantee you what has happened is they've had that phone call. It's like, hey, you know, this is the age where you start learning your address,
right,
your mom and your dad's phone numbers, and, you know, who to call in case of an emergency. And that's probably exactly the lessons they've been going through. So a part of me is like, good for you, man.
Right.
But also, like, the look on your face when the patrol cars start showing up, you're like, dear God.
Right, right.
Oh, my God.
Bo, I mean, you get to have serious conversations.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? It's a 4-year-old that just was playing with your phone and called somebody, and next thing you know, it's innocent. You know, it's not malicious. I mean, you just have to explain the situation of why we don't do that, why we don't call the police unless there is an emergency, and explain that an emergency is not you're bored.
But here's what ended up happening, because while Michael is exploring these patrol cars and like hanging out with the cops, like super cool day, he blurted out that it's his birthday tomorrow.
Oh.
And so, you know, one of the police officers clocked that. His name is Michael, and was like, this kid called just to talk about how much he loves soccer and swimming. He showed up, rolled up with multiple police officers the next day and had a brand new soccer net for Micah.
Yes. I love this.
I love this so much, man.
I love this so much. I love this so much.
But did Micah learn a lesson there, or is he getting a reward for doing
this? Well, I was going to say, now next time he's like, hey.
If I just call 911 and tell him what I want.
His fifth birthday, he's like, hey, I need a new baseball bat.
Yeah.
Let him call Derek Jeter then. Let's see how that works out.
Yeah.
I mean, when they showed up the next day, what would your feeling then be?
Yeah.
Like, these police are getting
to know. It's such a cool ordeal. And, you know, I will say this. I have learned, and I learned this lesson yesterday. If you turn your back on your child for 1 second, they are going to do something you don't want them to do. For once, like yesterday, I walked out of the room for 1 minute. My son went down in the basement. He got his play school basketball hoop and drug it up the stairs. They had water in the base of it, you know, that kind of thing to like make it. Bro, I like walk into the hallway. I'm like, hey, why is there a puddle? Hey, why is there a puddle here? He's like, oh, it's from the basketball goal. I'm like, what? What basketball goal are you talking about? He's like, the one in the backyard. How'd the basketball goal get in the backyard? Oh, I carried it up the stairs. I'm like, what? Why are you acting like this is just normal? Like, why did you go down in the basement and get your basketball goal? I was gone for 2 seconds.
Why are you so upset with him? He's staying calm.
Well, first of all, it was a massive puddle on our hardwood when outside the hallway.
Hand him a mop. Mop it up.
This is simple, Mike. Ridge is obviously born to be a hooper. Ball his life, man.
Hoop dreams, baby.
Ball his life.
And he started putting up shots, too, immediately. He's like, Dad, can you raise the basketball goal?
Yeah.
I'll put it from 4 to 6 feet. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Shout out to Ridge. Hey. Well, you know if you ever want some lessons.
Hoop dreams, baby.
You know where to go.
Ain't coming for me. I can tell you.
I got him.
He's got Power Forward written all over him.
Chris has Porzingis, baby.
Well, happy birthday to Micah. I hope the lesson was learned. But coming up, probably a lot of conversations happening in Flowery Branch today. We'll take a closer look at where we think the Falcons could be trimming up this roster. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
The Odyssey app.